Seeking for the help of the Lord, I direct your prayerful attention to 1 Peter and chapter 2, and reading for our text, verse 5. Verse 5, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. And what is upon my spirit is the spiritual sacrifices. What are they? How do we offer them up? What is being set before us here? In our text, we have a picture of a house. We know what a house is. We know what the temple was. And the temple was made out of stones and each one put together. And so the illustration here is that God's people are like stones in a house. But it's not a literal house. They're not literal stones. It's a spiritual house. And they're not dead, cold, hard rocks. But they're lively, they're living stones. And they're built up by God. And God's people are also described here as an holy priesthood. In the Old Testament, there was the priesthood. They offered up sacrifices. They made intercession to God. They went into the holiest of all. But here we have a picture of the Church of God all joined together into one building, and each one of them as an holy priesthood. We are all priests unto God. We do not need someone to appear and to come to God in our place. Christ is our advocate with the Father. He appears in the presence of God for us. And on earth, every believer has an holy priesthood. And that is set before us here to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Not the sacrifices as the Old Testament, which was blood of bulls and of goats, not literal sacrifices on altars, but spiritual sacrifices, and that those sacrifices are acceptable to God, not in themselves, not as something coming from us, as we have sung, from ourselves. We cannot bring God anything worth, but it is acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. These sacrifices are accepted through him and as fruits of his work in us, they are well pleasing to God. Now, there is a bringing together of the idea of sacrifice and what it is for a believer, what it is for the Church of God to walk in this way. Paul, when he writes to the Romans, he says in chapter 12 and verse 1 that our bodies are to be a living sacrifice. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so he's pointing to our walk as renewed in Christ in this world, our reasonable service, a sacrifice that is a living one because it's our life. And our lives affected or influenced by the grace of God. When he writes to the Ephesians, the apostle in chapter 5, he draws together how we walk and how what Christ offered. He says from verse 1, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour." And so there is a joining together there in those words, "as Christ also." And so here is our walk, walking in love, and Christ walking in love. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so there is a bringing together of Christ's sacrifice, the fruits and effects that then come into our lives. So in thinking of this word, spiritual sacrifices, I want to first set before us Christ's one sin atoning sacrifice. And then secondly, those spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. What are they? Because when we have an exhortation in this way, we need to be clear. What are these spiritual sacrifices? How are we to make them? Well, I want to then think first of Christ's one sin-atoning sacrifice. There is only one sacrifice that has been offered up that made atonement for sin. And that is what Christ offered up at Calvary. He laid down his life to take it again. It is that alone that puts away sin. It is that alone by faith in Christ's sin-atoning sacrifice whereby the people of God are saved. Looking back, the scriptures are very clear that the blood of bulls and of goats could never put away sins. There was a remembrance made of sins every year by those sacrifices, and those sacrifices pointed to Christ. Abel, he offered a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain. And he being dead now, he now speaketh. That sacrifice was a blood sacrifice, a death of one in the place of another. It was offered unto God. And that all pointed to the seed of the woman that should bruise the serpent's head, God's provision. We have a beautiful comparing of those two with Abraham going up on Mount Moriah and his son Isaac saying to him, "My father, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And Abraham answering, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." And there we have Isaac taken off the altar, the ram caught in it by its horns in the thicket, so his fleece was not torn, spotless, lay then and slain in the place of Isaac, the substitutionary offering. But our Lord said, "Abraham, saw my day and rejoiced at it. He saw Christ's substitutionary offering. He saw that provision for the church of God. We look back, and in the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, which is not a sacrifice, as blasphemously taught in the Roman Catholic Church, it is a remembrance service. It is in no sense a sacrifice. It does not put away sin. For that one truth, many of the martyrs lost their lives because they would not allow that service of the Lord's Supper was a remembrance service and not a sacrifice. And may we ever remember that and hold fast to that truth. It is Christ that died, yea, rather risen again. And we do show forth the Lord's death till he come. We don't offer him again, and he will come again. And so we must be very clear in this, that our Lord on Calvary, he fulfilled the scriptures, as is said many times in the accounts in the Gospels, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. He fulfilled what he himself said he would do. I lay down my life for the sheep. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received from my Father. The Lord demanded that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And our Lord supplied that blood, spotless, sinless, Lamb of God, fulfilling the law, taking the punishment his people deserved, enduring the wrath of God that was due upon his people, and in offering up that sacrifice acceptable to God, he put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And it is believing that that is saving. If thou believest with all thine heart that Jesus Christ died and rose again, that is, it is with the heart man believeth, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It is vital that our faith, our trust, is solely in what Christ has done, not by deeds of righteousness which we have done. And we want to make that very clear before coming to the second part of our text, our offerings up, because in no way must it be said that we add to the virtue of Christ's sufferings and his death, but really show forth the effect of that in our hearts, the fruit of that, that which our Lord did 2,000 years ago at Calvary, by the Spirit's power and work in our hearts, brings forth fruit so contrary to the fruit of this poor dying world. It was said to the disciples, all men took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And the grace of God, the word of God, conversion makes a real change. And that change is to be seen. And it is that change and that effect in our lives that are the spiritual sacrifices. Our Lord in John 6 speaks about his coming sacrifice, but he speaks about the people of God and their believing in that and what it is to them. And he said, except ye eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of Man, ye have no life in you. Now there was many there that confused that with literal eating and drinking the flesh of the Lord. Our Lord was speaking in a spiritual way. Man shall not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So it is here, not just hard stones, but living stones, people, not sacrifices as in the picture of Christ's sacrifice or the Old Testament, but in actually how we live and those things that are set before us in the Word of God, which we'll come to in a moment, as those spiritual sacrifices. So don't be put off or don't be led astray in the thought, because our text says a spiritual sacrifice, that we are talking about a literal sacrifice. It is that which is acceptable to God. That was the important thing of the types. They had to be acceptable unto God. That is taught with Abel and with Cain. Those types. It wasn't immaterial as to how that type was shown. It had to be an offering as God had prescribed. And then with our Lord Jesus Christ, acceptable unto God. That is what was the great mark of the sacrifices. And so the fruit and effect of faith, true faith in our lives, that also must be acceptable unto God. And the only way those Old Testament sacrifices were only acceptable inasmuch as they pointed to Christ. And our sacrifices and our lives are only acceptable so much as they are offered by Christ. That they are influenced by Him, the fruit of His work in us. As soon as we offer these sacrifices, as soon as we walk in any way that we are saying to God, you look at me, you look at how I'm doing, how acceptable this is to thee, as if we are adding unto the Lord. In all things, the people of God will bear testimony, like we've sung in our middle hymn, that there is nothing, we cannot bring those things that are acceptable to God, but we can through Christ. It is can through Him, and those things that we do. You know, the Apostle Paul, he says, I labored more abundantly than them all, yet not I, but Christ, which dwelleth in me. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And he was very, very clear. He would not take the credit to himself, but point to that which was working within him. It's Christ that worketh in us to will and to do of his own good pleasure. And so may we be very clear, our soul looking back to see the burdens that Christ bore, that we trust solely in what he has done, and that our sins be blotted out as we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And our Lord said to those that believed, if ye continue in my word, then shall ye be my disciples indeed. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Free from sin, free from error, free from this world. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Be reminded of that word, whatsoever ye do, do all to the honour and glory of God, as unto, not as unto men, but as unto God. Well, I want to look then in the second place at those spiritual sacrifices, that which is set before us in the Word of God. We have already mentioned one in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us. That is a sacrifice, that is that which is set before us in the first epistle of John, and God has seen fit in the ordering of the Word of God. You think of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but should have eternal life. And then we have 1 John chapter 3, and again verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Lay down our lives for the brethren. A spiritual sacrifice through the Lord Jesus Christ. Really, the Lord taught me what that meant those years ago in going to visit Ron Jealous in the William Harvey Hospital one Saturday. And there was much I had to do at home, many things, and I confess I was going on that journey really torn by what was in my life and wanting to go and see Ron. But I always remember that spot in the road that the Lord dropped in this word to me. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. It showed me what that meant, that I was to lay down my life, what I was to do that day, that I was to go and see Ron. It told me also this, that he was one of the brethren. The Lord sealed it on me that day, that time, that he was one of the Lord's. But if ever there's a time of interpreting the Word of God in that way, instead of just living our lives for ourselves all the time, and it is to think of the people of God, putting ourselves out, as it were, for the brethren. And we have this that is taught in other epistles as well. Paul, when he writes to the Philippians, he speaks of those that ministered to him in the fourth chapter of Philippians. He had received a gift from them. They had sent to him. And he says in verse 15, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. There's a picture of what these sacrifices, these spiritual sacrifices are. They are fruits. Then he says in verse 18, but I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. So they had sent those things through a man called Epaphroditus to Paul. And this is what he says of those things: an odour of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. How clearly the apostle links that fruit, that giving of what they had, laying down their lives or their goods, and giving to one of the Lord's people in his need. And then he says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. None ever lacked. The Christian prospers lying out. That was very evidenced in the first church as they had their hands loosened of this world and even sold lands, those that had much, and then gave to the poor. They have a really true value of the things of God and how precious they are that loosens our hands of time. So a spiritual sacrifice, the love to the brethren, our love to those whom Christ loved, laid down his life and died for, and commended his love toward us in that while we were even sinners, he died for us. And that's why in 1 John as well we have this token. We know that we have passed from death unto life in that we love the brethren. It is a spiritual sacrifice. Then we have the sacrifices as set before us in Psalm 51. You remember that David, when he had sinned in the matter of Bathsheba and then in killing Uriah, her husband, to hide his sin, he was brought to repentance through Nathan coming to him and telling him a parable that enabled to see his sin. We can't see our sin. Very often it is through seeing a sin in another that we are able to more clearly see our own sin. Sometimes we might have to walk that path of making a judgment like David did on another before the Lord lays it to our heart and makes us solely to trail off in our words and our thoughts and realize maybe for the first time that actually this is us. Well, David says in this Psalm 51 of repentance and of godly sorrow, he says in verse 16 and 17, "For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings." So he's pointing there to those literal sacrifices and burnt offerings, which, of course, in David's day, they were still doing. They were still performing those sacrifices. But he says, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." So clearly, in the inspired, inerrant word of God, the Lord pointing to that acceptable spiritual sacrifice, broken and a contrite spirit. How different than so full of pride, how different of saying, "I have not sinned, I've done nothing wrong, I'm in the clear." But here is one that is humbled and broken and sorrowful and mourning over their sins. This is a sacrifice acceptable unto God. Then we have the sacrifices of prayer. May we clearly view prayer as one of these spiritual sacrifices. In Psalm 141 and verse 2, we have a psalm of David. And here he says, "Let my prayer," in verse 2, "be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice." So, again, we have so clearly set before us these spiritual sacrifices, that which is acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. When we come before the Lord in prayer, we are praying through our Lord Jesus. We plead his merits, we plead his blood. He is the way by whom we come to God. Our Lord said, No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. We say it before God, not our own merits, but Christ's merits. So prayer is. And the other way is thanksgiving. And staying in the book of Psalms, that well-known psalm, beautiful psalm, Psalm 107. The whole psalm, it begins, "So give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." But then we have very clearly in verse 22, "Let them sacrifice these sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing." Thanksgiving is a very important aspect of these spiritual sacrifices. This is reinforced again in Psalm 116 and verse 17. "I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord." It is the path of the people of God to offer sacrifices in this way, thanksgiving. Jonah in the whale's belly, he had rebelled, he'd run away from God. He had refused to preach in his name. He had run away to sea. The Lord had sent his wind and the water. Jonah had been cast into the sea and the Lord had provided the fish, the whale, to swallow him up. And in the midst of the waters, there Jonah is praying unto the Lord. And at the end of that prayer, he says in verse 9, chapter 2 in Jonah, "But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I'll pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. And so may we be very clear in that way, that part of these spiritual sacrifices is to offer thanksgiving unto the Lord. It is pleasing, it is pleasant, it's pleasant to us, and it is pleasant to God as offered through our Lord Jesus Christ. Every blessing comes to us through Jesus' precious blood, and Jonah is very clear, salvation is not of me, it is of the Lord. And our Lord says that Jonah was a sign and to the Ninevites, and there shall be no sign given to the generation our Lord was in, but Jonah himself. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so should our Lord be 3 nights and 3 days in the heart of the earth. It all points to our Lord Jesus Christ. And our thanksgivings, every mercy, every blessing out of hell is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. What he has done for us, what he has purchased for us, these are these blessings. So then also there is praise that is to be offered in his name. In Paul, in the epistle to the Hebrews and chapter 13, we have the mention of praise. And again, it is by the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me notice the scriptures, they are written by different ones. The inspirer is the Holy Spirit. You have in verse 15, "By him, therefore let us," that is by Christ, "therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." Thanks and praise, very often they go together. And here we have the praise that is set forth. And this again was known in the Old Testament in Jeremiah 33. We have again the mention of the sacrifices of praise. And we have in verse 11, the voice of joy, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the voice of them that say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. It is a blessed thing that we bring into the house of God these sacrifices of praise. And then we have the bringing together of the mercy and the knowledge of God. We have in Hosea, prophet Hosea in chapter 6 and verse 6, for I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. And this is the Old Testament. There were many that offered those sacrifices that had no faith, that walked contrary. They actually did the deeds of the sacrifices, but then went and paid homage to idols or walked in a way so contrary to the Lord. And so it can be with us. We can think, well, we come into the Lord's house, we spend the Lord's days, we think it should be spent, but then the rest of our lives is completely devoid of the grace of God or walking in any regard to what the Lord would have us to walk in. And so we have set before us the mercy of God and the knowledge of God. And this is followed as well in the prophecy of Micah, and again chapter 6 in Micah, verses 6 to 8. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. And our Lord sets before us the same, the gospel according to Matthew and verse 13. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And these are the sacrifices, the spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable unto God. In fact, when we read the remainder of the chapter where our text is, this is a path that is set before us that are also the spiritual sacrifices. We have in verse 11, dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation or your walk honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they shall behold glorify God in the day of visitation. It covers the submission of ourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the King as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, for the praise of them that do well. This chapter speaks of those spiritual sacrifices that are offered up. For even in verse 21, hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. What a high standard is set before us. What a path is set before us in this way. God's dear children are not just called, as it were, to say here below, well, we're born again, we're a child of God, we're going to heaven. They're brought together as a church, as a building, and they're brought together for a purpose, and that is set before us in our text, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Do we offer up these spiritual sacrifices that we've heard set before us this morning? Do we love the brethren? Have we the sacrifices of a broken and a contrite heart? Do we really have repentance? Do we pray? Pray through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do we offer thanksgiving? Or are we murmuring and complaining? Do we give praise to God? And do we have a knowledge of God and his mercy? Mercy through blood, I make my plea. God, be merciful to me. Is it very clear in those things that we do them for Christ's sake? The love of Christ constrains us. And that difference, that change, is known and read of all men. God calls his people not just to be those inhabitants of heaven, but also his witnesses, salt and light here below, and to show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of nature's darkness and into his marvellous light. May we then be living stones in the Church of God here, living stones above, and offer up these spiritual sacrifices. May the Lord give us that grace and that concern that we do show forth the fruits of Christ's work in us as new creatures in Christ Jesus. May the Lord bless the word to us. Amen.